I was the age of some of you here, finishing off at school, thinking about what to do next, I was interested in science, physics and maths in particular. Now, I know I've probably already lost half the audience with a comment like that, but that's what I was into. And I was also a Christian. Okay, I believed in God, and I also went along to the SU at my school at that time. Now, I was aware, like many people are, that there was some sort of perceived conflict between science on the one hand and belief in God on the other. How did the two fit together? Was there a contradiction there? But to be honest, probably when I was at school, I didn't think a huge amount about that. I was probably more worried about playing rugby or football or whatever it happened to be. But once I went to university to study science, then these questions came to the fore a bit more, and I thought, well, I can't ignore them. I'm going to have to look into some of these issues and see whether there really is a conflict or not. The long and the short of that is that when I did that, I came to the conclusion by looking at the arguments, looking at different resources that were available, that far from there being conflict, almost the opposite was the case. And that's roughly what I want to tell you about over the next few minutes. The first thing that I want to do is to try to get our heads around why anybody would think there's a problem in the first place. Now, there might be several different reasons why people might think there's a conflict between science and God. But I think one of the most obvious ones goes something like this. In the past, people didn't really understand how the world worked, how the universe worked. We didn't know why there was thunder and lightning. We, at one point, even didn't know that the Earth was round or that the sun went round the Earth. We didn't know these things. Checking, is everybody awake? The sun doesn't go round the Earth, right? It's the other way around, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Just checking. Yes, we didn't know that. We used to think that the sun went round the Earth. But now science has told us otherwise. And so science has given us a better understanding of how the world works. In the past, though, when we didn't understand, what we did was to say, God did it. Thunder and lightning, that must be because God is angry, or whatever. Likewise, when it comes to gravity, why do things fall? Well, God must be responsible for that. God must be responsible for, yeah, the Earth going around the sun. And then what happens is science comes along and it explains these things. And when science explains them, there's no more need for God. And the more and more science explains, the less and less room there is for God, until eventually you don't need God at all. And that, roughly, I think, is the idea that many people have when they think that there's a conflict between the two. Now, the first thing I want to say about this is that this idea of this conflict between science explaining things and God would have come as a shock to the founders of modern science. So, when we think of people like the astronomer Johannes Kepler, we think of Robert Boyle, we think of Isaac Newton, later on we think of other figures like Michael Faraday, James Clerk Maxwell, they would have been shocked by this kind of idea. When Newton discovered his law of gravitation, he didn't think, oh, well, there goes another reason for God. God has been gradually sidelined from the picture. Far from it. He was a very devout man. He wasn't an Orthodox Christian, but he was very devout in his beliefs, and it was his belief in God that drove his scientific thinking. And similarly with Kepler and others as well, the very reason they did science was not despite their belief in God, but because of it. Okay? They wanted to understand this amazing world that God had created. And so the more scientific knowledge they got, the more they stood in awe at the God who had created all of this. It gave them an insight into God's greatness, this fantastic world that he had created and that he had given us human beings the ability, at least partially, to understand that universe. And so their science was motivated by their faith. Now, I don't think it's too difficult to see how we can have two different kinds of explanations. You see, if we just say that God explains the little bits and pieces that science can't yet explain, that's putting God into the gaps and saying, well, God just explains these little gaps, and then if those gaps get filled, there's no room for God. But I would suggest that's the wrong way to look at it. I think these scientists that I'm talking about were right. God was responsible for the whole thing, not just the little bits that science couldn't explain. Let me try to give an illustration. Let's suppose that there is a kettle boiling, full of water, and it's boiling. And you come over and you ask, why is that kettle boiling? Well, if you're fortunate enough, unfortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, to have one of your physics teachers there, he or she might tell you something like this. They might say, well, you know, you've got the electric current that's going through the element of the kettle, the resistance in the element causes it to heat up, that generates heat, and then we have, you know, they'll tell you about the specific heat capacity of water, they'll tell you about how many joules is required to increase a certain volume of water through so many degrees up to boiling point. There's a physics teacher here, isn't there? Marvellous, yeah, it's very good, thank you. And at the end of the conversation, you will look at your physics teacher and say, well, thanks very much, that's very enlightening, but that's not quite what I meant. I meant, why is the kettle boiling? The physics teacher looks at you and says, well, I just told you, what more do you want to know? But your friend is also there and says, well, I was making a cup of tea. And I put the kettle on to boil it because I wanted to make a cup of tea. Now, who's right? The science teacher or your friend? Well, they're both right. There's no conflict between those two explanations. One is giving you a scientific explanation of the process. The other is telling you about the reason why, the purpose why the person did it. And so we can have these two explanations going together. And it would be odd to think that they were rivals. Now, in the same way, I want to suggest that God gives us a personal explanation, like why the kettle is on in terms of making a cup of tea. God tells us why there's a universe. Science gives us the details, maybe about some aspects of the processes involved in the world. So for this reason, I think it's not at all obvious that there's any kind of conflict. But I want to go a little bit further than that. I want to say not merely that there's no conflict, that the two can go together and indeed complement each other. I mean, in that story about the kettle, the two explanations actually complement each other very well. Well, okay, maybe I just think that because I'm a scientist, but the two seem to go together quite well. They give you different aspects of the story. But I want to go a little bit further and say not only can God and science go together, but that actually there's very good scientific reasons to believe in a creator. And indeed, science, if it's in conflict with anything, is in conflict with atheism. So let me try to give three reasons why I think that's the case. The first one is science itself. Okay. Going back to those figures that I talked about in the history of science, they expected to find order in the world. They went looking for scientific laws. Why? Now, when you think about it, you do your experiments in the lab one day, and you assume that if you go into the lab the next day and you do the experiment in the same way, you should get the same results. Well, okay, there's always a little bit of room for slight error or whatever, but you get basically the same results. The world works in an orderly way. Science depends on that. But why should we assume the world works in an orderly way? If there's no God, why assume order? Why assume that the world has laws that describe how it acts throughout the universe and throughout time? Well, these scientists that I talked about had an answer to this. They went looking for the order in the universe. Why? Because they believed in a rational creator. They went looking for scientific laws because they believed in a lawgiver. And so I would say the success of science, the fact that we can discover the order and amazing laws that there are in the universe, is just the kind of thing we'd expect if there's a creator. And it's not at all what we'd expect, or at least we'd have no good reason to expect it, if there's no God. This doesn't prove the existence of God, but I think it's a strong pointer in that direction. Okay, the second one concerns the idea that the universe had a beginning. So, one of the most remarkable discoveries in the 20th century in science was the discovery that the universe is not static. It's expanding. You know, so, when we look at the distant galaxies, it turns out they're moving away from us. It's like blowing up a balloon. As you blow it, it expands out. Now, if you go back in time, you know, this is like the balloon deflating. It goes back down, and the same with the universe. If we go back in time, if the universe is expanding, going back in time, it must be contracting, like the deflating balloon. But this gave rise to a problem. At least it gave rise to a problem for some scientists, because some of the scientists were atheists. They didn't believe in God, and one of the problems was the scientific evidence seemed to suggest that if you go back far enough, it shrinks back down until the whole universe reaches a single point and essentially disappears. Or to put it the other way around, it looks like the universe had a beginning. Now, before I go any further on this, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you were thinking, that's called the Big Bang. And that, how does that fit with the Bible? I mean, that tells us that the universe was created billions of years ago. Doesn't the Bible teach something else? How does all that work? Well, that's a very good question. But what I want to suggest, that's not my topic today. What I want to suggest is that if the universe had a beginning, that might give us, those of us who are Christians, some questions to think about how that fits with the Bible. But it gives a much bigger question to atheists, to anyone who doesn't believe in God. And here's why. If the universe really did have a beginning, how can that happen if there's no God? Can the universe, the entire physical reality that we see, can that just come into existence out of absolutely nothing, without a cause? Now, most atheists think the answer to that is no. And that is why, for so long, they were keen to try to avoid the idea that the universe had a beginning. They did everything to avoid that idea. But the best scientific evidence we have, I would suggest, is that the universe had a beginning. Now, this is a big topic, and we can't go into it in a huge amount of detail. But the scientific evidence is at least highly suggestive of a beginning. And if it had a beginning, that is a major problem for the belief that there's no God. That's the second reason. Let me quickly then move on to the third one. And the third one is another remarkable scientific discovery made over the last 40 years or so. And it's the following idea. It's the idea that the universe is just right for life. It's sometimes called the Goldilocks enigma. Remember the story? It's not too hot, it's not too cold, it's just right. In this case, the universe is just right for life. There's a whole range of features of the universe that are in this category. Let me give you just one example. If we look at the force of gravity, and we compare it, okay, here's a sort of scientific technical bit again, with the electromagnetic force that holds electrons within atoms, that's as far as I'll go. You compare those two forces, well, it turns out that if the balance, the ratio between those had been different by one part in 10 to the power of 40, that's a one with 40 knots after it, which you all knew, of course, then we wouldn't be here. Life would be impossible. That's the kind of precision that is required for you to exist. And this is not just Christians saying this. This is scientists who have discovered this. And it's not just this one example, but loads of them. One writer puts it like this. Imagine a dartboard and you're trying to hit the bullseye. Well, we all know how difficult that is. But let's suppose now that the dartboard is the size of our entire galaxy, and the bullseye that you're trying to hit is a trillionth of an inch in diameter. Imagine the precision required to hit that bullseye rather than just anywhere on the dartboard. That's the kind of precision that is required for you to exist, for life to exist. Now, how do we explain that? How do we explain this amazing scientific discovery? Well, there's a lot of debate about this, but I would suggest that far and away the best explanation is that there is an intelligent creator. It's just right for life because God planned it that way. If there's no God, there's no reason at all to expect that things would be just right for life to exist. This is an amazing coincidence. appealing to chance and just saying, well, it's just luck, that's not really good enough, because the chance is so small. Like having that bullseye, that a much better explanation is that our universe was created by an intelligent God. Okay, those are our three reasons, and I'm aware of time pressing on. Those are three, and there are more, but those are three scientific reasons, I would say, why there is good reason to believe in a creator. And furthermore, I think those reasons are much more of a problem from the point of view of someone who doesn't believe in God. What I want to finish with is asking the following question. Why does any of this matter? Why should we concern ourselves with any of this at all? Well, from a scientific point of view, we want to find the truth. We want to find out the way things really are. And in terms of God, I would suggest that this is also should be thought of in terms of seeking for the truth. Is there a God or is there not? And this is of enormous importance, because it's what our lives are about if there's a God. If there's a God, it matters a huge deal what we do with our lives. Let me go back to the kettle and use it for a different purpose. Imagine that kettle, and you go to put it on to make your cup of tea, but it doesn't work. The element's broken, let's suppose, and the kettle doesn't work. What good is the kettle now? It's not functioning according to the purpose for which it was made. It's no longer any use as a kettle. Now, maybe you could use a kettle for something else. Could you use it as an ornament? Well, it wouldn't make a great ornament. You could use it as a jug, I suppose, but you could get a much better jug. It's not functioning according to its purpose. Now, if there is a God, there is a purpose for how we should live our lives. That purpose is ultimately to know God. It's to worship God. It's to live our lives, to serve God. That is the very purpose for our existence, and there could be nothing greater than fulfilling our purpose. That's why it's important. Because if we're not fulfilling our purpose, then arguably we're more like the kettle that's broken. We're not fulfilling the purpose for which we were created. And so I would suggest to you that there is good reason to believe in God, and if there is a God, there is a purpose for our lives. That is why this is so important.